Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
All right, hour three is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Legal day here on Rush to Reason. Kevin Flesh with me, Flesh Law Firm. If you got a question for Kevin, please call us, 303-477-5600. This just in, though. You know, there's an old saying, some people you just can't make happy no matter what you do.
Absolutely.
That would be Antifa. Antifa is now in Portland, smashing out the windows of the headquarters of the Democrat Party of Oregon. So some people just aren't ever happy.
They may have a different agenda than the rest of us.
I think. All right. So in light of that and other things going on in our world, we mentioned in that last hour, right now it's a four-day wait to buy a gun. So that's the waiting period in Colorado to buy a gun. Let's talk about gun rights. I know that's a big deal. A lot of folks probably already have that on their mind. It's something that you and I talk about pretty frequently when you're on, but it's always, you know, worth a recap, and especially with a lot of the, you know, quote-unquote uncertainty that may be out there and not knowing even on the gun side of the fence where things are going to head. There's been all sorts of, you know, speculation as to what a Biden administration will do. Keep in mind, folks, about the only thing he can do, to my knowledge, is when it comes to the importation of certain guns. I think he can, by executive order, make some changes there if he so desires. But as far as actual, you know, gun sales in the United States of America, that all has to be run through and done on a congressional, you know, law basis, right?
That's correct.
Am I correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing by executive order that the president can really do.
In other words, he can't stop you from buying a gun tomorrow with executive order.
No, that would be
He also cannot confiscate your gun tomorrow by executive
correct.
Order.
Nope, can't do that either. And, you know, obviously there's, every time we have this sort of change in power to some degree, there's a run on guns. I hopefully bought a new shotgun on Monday. You know, I've got to go through the background check, so you never know. You never know what's going to come up.
That's hilarious. So
I fill those applications out, and every time I read each question, and I'm amazed by all the different things that you now have to explain.
I know.
The mental health piece, there's so many different, you know, felonies, the domestic relations misdemeanors. I mean, they just keep...
I always like the question, male or female? Do you have to answer that?
It's now male, female, or binary.
Yeah, it's whatever I feel like, right?
Yes. Exactly. Them.
Okay, here's a dumb question.
Yeah.
Why does that matter? I mean, I guess it's because of your identity, right? But don't they already know your identity based on the other information you're giving them?
Well, you'd think so.
So why are you even putting male or female down?
I don't have
They know anyway.
Right. They would know. But I don't. Why do you have to put down your... Now you have to put down your full middle name.
They know that.
And I guess Colorado, some people on their driver's license...
Okay. I have another dumb question.
Yeah.
They already know you based upon numbers, i.e., license number, social security number. Why do you have to put a name on it, period?
Right. I agree with you.
The reality is they already know all that anyways.
Right. Absolutely. You should be just...
You should put your number on that, check the boxes, sign the bottom, done.
Boom.
Am I right?
Yep. Completely agree.
You don't even need address or anything. They know all that.
But sir, you haven't completed this form correctly. We're back to, you know, the Orwellian. Well, we've got to follow through with the process. The form is what needs to be completed before we can move on
matters.
To step two.
That's all that matters.
That's why we have to wait 4 days. I mean, it shouldn't be hard.
I mean, this is, to me, is just government at its best.
Yes.
Sorry.
Completely. It's like the DMV all over again.
Let's walk through.
But then again, then you look at our DMV and what you can do to get a driver's license these days. So maybe you should have to fill out all of the application because we can't trust our governmental entities relating to that.
All right, so folks that are listening maybe own lots of guns, maybe some own none, and they're thinking about buying a gun.
Yes.
Walk us through the steps of how that works from the, you know, from the lawyer legal side,
yeah.
things that they need to make sure they're doing correctly so they don't find themselves in trouble.
Well, so that's really, that is one of the finer points with the legislation that occurred, I think, 3 or 7 years ago,
yeah,
relating to the background checks now when you transfer a gun.
Right.
So Colorado doesn't have any registry whatsoever. So I get people called.
Yeah, I do too.
There's no registry. No. There's no way.
They have no idea where that serial number went.
They have no idea who owns it.
Right.
They have no way, unless it's come up stolen somewhere.
Unless it's in a crime, or, and it's fairly frequent even after the purchase where they might be able to go back to the gun store,
yep.
dig that paperwork up, and find it.
If they could figure out where you bought it.
Correct.
But pawn shops keep some of that data. Denver, just as an aside, Denver police gets information on a weekly basis of what is pawned in the city and county of Denver.
Okay.
So they watch stuff to see because they have... things that are stolen, so
sure,
they watch
sure.
for different things.
Outside of that, though, they don't have a clue.
They don't have a clue. And so, but when you transfer, you know, you sell a gun, your cousin.
So I sell one to you.
Yeah.
We'll use you and I as
yep.
an example.
Now
so you want to buy a shotgun, your
yep.
last shotgun deal, they don't have any inventory, but I have
right.
some personally.
Yep.
I'm going to sell that to you.
So you and I are hunting. I say, I really like that shotgun. And
you sell it to me?
Yeah, I'll. Give me $300 or $1,000, whatever it is, and I'll give it to you. You now have to go through a dealer to do that transfer legally.
Right. Legally.
Legally, that's the way that you have to do it.
So, question I have on my end. Mm-hmm. How would they know otherwise?
Well, they don't. That's the weird thing about all of this. It's the same thing with the magazines.
I mean, unless you went and said something, or I went and said
right.
something, how does anybody know
or
the difference?
Or anybody else was witness to it would say something. They
but,
don't have any ability.
But there's nobody around. It's you and I
no.
in the middle of a cornfield.
Right.
And we make that exchange.
Yes.
How's anybody going to know the difference?
They won't. And quite frankly, the legislation that is in place, the law that's in place right now, when I loan you a shotgun in the field in Colorado for an afternoon hunt, that's transfer. We're supposed to be going
supposed
through.
To be, we're supposed to get a background
yes,
check to even
you're
do that, right?
Yes, you're supposed to go through.
So
and
even
do a
if we were out in the field and say, man, I want to. You got an over and under, and I've got this auto.
Right.
Let's do a swap today.
Yep, for
you,
the next hour.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll just. I want to shoot your gun. Let's see how it's.
That's
see how
a
it
transfer.
Is. You can't do that.
No, not legally in Colorado.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
All the time.
Guaranteed.
Yes.
Guaranteed.
All the time.
Will anybody ever go to court for that?
I haven't ever seen anything relating to that.
I mean, is there a police officer out there that's even knuckleheaded enough to even. Go after that.
You know, I've talked to CPW officers about this a little bit when I'm dealing with other stuff, and it's low on their totem pole.
They got other fish to fry,
they do.
Right?
They've got other things to worry about, not whether the weapon was yours at the gun was yours at the beginning of the hunt or it's somebody else's. Only when they start getting into shooting across trespassing sort of issues. And,
well, that's a whole other ballgame.
Right. But and then they want to find out whose gun it was.
Right.
But really all they want to find out is who the shooter was.
Yeah, because they want to go after them.
Correct. Yeah.
Makes
so,
sense.
So at any rate, legally relating to that. So you go to a gun dealer, they fill out the application, you send it off, they
pay them the money, whatever.
Pay the
it is,
money
off you
and
go.
You wait whatever it is that particular week, and right now it's 4 days.
Yeah.
A month from now it could be two weeks.
Who knows?
Yeah,
yeah, we have no idea.
Right. I've had it where it's instantaneous.
Right.
But
Joe's going to join us in a moment. Let's take a quick break. American National Insurance is next. By the way, everything we're talking about, you need to be insured. Kevin will probably do this commercial for American National all on his own because you do this on a regular basis. And what is one of the biggest things you find people don't have enough of?
Uninsured motorist coverage. Yes, because there's a third of the drivers in Colorado that
don't have it, right?
No, exactly.
So, folks, please, you just heard it from the legal mouth himself.
Yes.
If you don't have enough of that, talk to my good friend, and he is my good friend, Paul Leuenberger, American National Insurance, and ask about that today. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance will make you financially whole. Losing your home or vehicle in a disaster will leave an emotional impact, no matter how much insurance you buy, but it doesn't need to hurt you financially. John Rush personally knows homeowners who have ended up in bankruptcy because they didn't have proper insurance. Even after their houses were completely destroyed, they still had to make mortgage payments. Imagine trying to find a new place to live while still paying a mortgage on your old house, which no longer exists. The same thing has happened to vehicle owners who continue to make payments on totaled vehicles because they didn't have enough coverage to make them financially whole. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger of American National Insurance, will make sure that even in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
All right, a good shop. They want to help you out. If you've been involved in an accident, as we just talked to Kevin a moment ago, make sure, by the way, you've got everything you need with Paul Leuenberger on the front side. But let's say you've been in an accident and it's not even your fault. Well, Kevin knows this as well as I. Insurance companies have a way of steering you, if you would, to other places where they either they've got a special deal there or they like the particular guy behind the counter or whatever the case, but they've got a relationship, whatever it is. And by the way, I'm not saying that's bad. That's just what insurance companies do. But by law in Colorado, and Kevin can attest to this, you can take the vehicle anywhere you want to. It's your car. You can have anyone you want fix it. And by the way, there's a ton of misconception on that out there. So here's the deal. You go to a good shop. There's three locations in North Denver to serve you. Find them at klzradio.com. In fact, you can have the car towed. If it's incapacitated and the car needs towed, you can have it towed directly to a good shop, even after hours, in the night drop, and they'll handle it from there. Phone number 720-541-7697.
After an accident, you just want your vehicle back the way it was as quickly as possible. Before founding a Good Shop Collision Center in North Glen and Commerce City, Al Sturm used to work for some of the big corporate conglomerates, so he has the personal experience to compare the two. Al recently heard from a customer who tried using one of the big corporate shops for some auto body work on his old truck. He waited a month just to get an estimate, only to find out they wouldn't work on older vehicles. At a good shop, Al and his team have the autonomy they need to take care of their customers. You don't want your vehicle tied up any longer than necessary. Because a good shop has three locations, they can get you in for an estimate faster. Al and his team at a good shop are proud to run a certified, independent auto body shop where you're more than just a number. Schedule an estimate now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair worth referring.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Kevin Flesh, Flesh Law Firm. If you got a question for Kevin, please call 303-477-5600. Appreciate Kevin coming in and joining us today. Joe, you're back. What's going on, sir?
Just a comment on why I went through the background check to sell a couple of my guns before I left Colorado.
Okay.
And here's the risk. While there is no national registry and Colorado does not have a registry, gun dealers are required to keep the paperwork, you know, when they sold you. So,
right.
So I had a little concealed carry gun, and in New Jersey you can't get concealed carry, so I said, well, no sense, you know, might as well sell it. So I sold a big, scary black rifle that was illegal in New Jersey, and I sold a pistol and to people I knew casually. Now, if at some point, and both of those were purchased in Colorado, and if at some point in the future either the person I sold it to used it in a crime or they had it stolen from them, law enforcement would go back to the manufacturer of the gun, say Smith & Wesson, and say, which dealer did you ship this gun to? And they would say, you know, so-and-so, you know, Franktown Firearms. And then they would go to Franktown Firearms and say, who did you sell this gun to? And Franktown Firearms say, oh, I sold that to Joe.
Right.
And then they would go to me and say, Joe, you know, how did this gun come to leave your possession? And I would say, oh, I sold it to John Rush. And then they say, do you have a record of that background check? And if I say, no, I don't, they've got me.
No, completely agree with you, Joe, and I'm certainly not advocating.
So the legal, real quick, I want to back up and say, on the legal side of the fence, if you're Joe, Kevin, what does Joe legally have to answer with all of those questions?
Well, he wouldn't have to answer anything.
I wouldn't speak, but I get a lawyer, but I'd be between a rock and a hard place.
No, you wouldn't, because they would never know how the transaction occurred unless they went and talked to John and John told them what happened.
Well, they would say, well, again,
no, I understand what you're saying, Joe, and I'm not advocating.
Right. Yeah,
that
we're not saying skip this.
Yeah,
we're also saying you have legal rights before they ever get to that point.
Right, but at the same time, you're absolutely right because you protect yourself. It's not any different than selling a car and
that's
making sure
right.
you have a
bill of sale
and you get the title transfer
and take the plates off.
Right, and you take the. I mean, it's the same idea that you protect yourself in these transactions
by
doing it legally. And
so in this case, I have a background check form from Franktown Firearms for a scary black gun that was illegal in New Jersey, and a concealed carry gun that I couldn't use in New Jersey. So both of those to people, one guy I knew casually, another guy I knew fairly well, but I said, but hey, somebody could steal that gun from you, use it in a crime, then they're going to go back to the dealer I bought it from, say, oh, you sold that gun to Joe, and then they're going to go to Joe and say, how did that gun come to leave your possession? And you're right, I could say Fifth Amendment, I'm not going to talk to you.
I lost it.
Yep.
I've got a
similar situation, not relating to a gun, but I have a client that I'm representing right now that is a baseball card collector mm-hmm. and seller, and he came into possession of some baseball cards that they're now saying, before he received them, were stolen. And we're talking significant amounts of money and very unusual cards. And so we've got the FBI now involved in trying to get information from him and from other people to try to figure out where exactly and how these cards got out of the collection that's been now publicized. Mm. And it's exactly how you connect the dots mm-hmm. is what they can prove. They know that something happened, much like the transaction that you're talking about if something happened. But the issue is how much information do you provide to the government and how they can then put the cards together so they
And great point, Joe. And yeah, we would not advocate doing it otherwise. But
if you didn't do it, and then someone came and talked to you, you don't have any obligation to give them any information.
Yeah, just tight lip.
But in this case, I would say, hey, I sold to so and so. We went through the background. I mean,
you wouldn't say anything, Joe. You would say, I don't know what you're talking about.
Even in this case, I think Kevin, what Kevin's saying, Joe, is even now, even though you did it correctly, I think I'd just say nothing.
Yeah. Right.
By the way, conversely, I have guns I inherited from my grandfather.
Yeah.
I have guns I bought when I was 17.
Me too.
There was the background check. So there is no record.
Nope. There is not. I've inherited guns over the years. I've had guns given to me as gifts my first gun that I still have today, you know, my dad gave me when I was about 10.
Yep.
I'll never get rid of it because of that. But yeah, nobody knows that.
Same thing. I've got the same Remington 1100 that's sitting in my gun safe.
Same as mine. Yep. And I'll never get rid of it.
No. Never shoot it.
Nope.
Buy one of my guns when I was 15, you know, I wouldn't bother with a background check, and I'm assume vice versa, because even if that gun were to be lost or stolen from me, nobody's going to ever trace it back to me or you.
That's right. That's, good point.
That's true.
No well said, Joe.
Tale.
Well said. Yep. Nope. Good stuff. Joe,
thanks
as always. I appreciate it. Jordan, you are next. Jordan, welcome. What's going on, sir?
Hey, I wanted to ask a question. Earlier you were talking about basically what can and cannot happen as far as, you know, gun laws go through executive order. And I wanted to ask about whether an executive order can change how you purchase.
No.
So,
and that's still done state by state, by the way. And that's a state's rights thing. Sorry, I'm not an attorney, but I know that answer.
One of the things I was thinking about specifically was Biden's plan to, you know, basically make anything that is, you know, quote unquote high capacity, you know, you need to get NFA stamps and
he
has to go through Congress.
Yeah, he personally cannot do that. Yeah.
The executive branch doesn't have the ability to do that.
He can by executive order, and I said this earlier, Jordan, if there's a particular gun being imported that Uncle Joe all of a sudden decides he does not like, yes, he can stop the importation of that particular gun if he so desires. Make sense?
Okay.
Yeah.
But he can't.
Yeah,
he cannot. He
sure.
cannot. He cannot go to Ruger that has a factory here in the United States of America and tell them they can no longer make a .357 revolver. He does not have that ability with executive order
to do that. That's right.
Or in their case, they make AR. Real quick, Jordan, let me add this. They also make an AR-15. Ruger does. Mm-hmm. He cannot go to Ruger because that gun is made in America. He can't go to Ruger and say, you can't make that anymore.
He cannot personally.
He cannot personally. He can start that process through Congress if he so desires. That would have to pass Congress and the Senate. But he cannot, by executive order, shut Ruger down on making AR-15s.
Right. I mean, that's where we had Clinton with all of the crazy, scary gun legislation. Back
does that make sense, Jordan?
I was just wondering if, I was just wondering if he can, you know, yes, he can't, you know, stop the production or sale of anything through, you know, the executive order, but can he basically make it more expensive and more inaccessible?
He already is, by the way, by osmosis.
Yeah,
we're 4 days now in Colorado buying a gun. He, by the way, already has in some ways done what you just said by osmosis. He didn't make any orders to do that. Just him being there has done some of that.
One of the things that I don't want to have happen, though, is people get paranoid about the change in power and then all of a sudden our gun rights are going away. There's going to be lots of discussion about that, but Congress has to do that. and make those changes. You can't do it by executive order to make. You can't, you know, write an executive order right. saying that there's a 3-day waiting period or anything, right. anything like that.
Right.
That's nothing that the executive.
And as Republicans and conservatives, keep in mind, Jordan, that right now, yes, the Senate is split. I know the House is in the favor of the Democrats, but the House is 50-50. I know Harris makes the deciding vote, but you've got some senators, by the way, that are on the Democrat side that come from states that are very much in line with what you and I are talking about, especially on the Second Amendment end of things, where it's not set in stone that they would win a particular, you know, particular law they would go through and then make it onto the books and make it onto Joe's desk to be signed, Jordan. That's not a slam dunk on the Democrat right. side right now. I know a lot of conservatives think mm-hmm. it is. Let me tell you what, it's not.
It is interesting that we've had four relatively nice years with Trump and what he has done. We had 8 years of Obama. I mean,
we made it through that.
Right. I mean, it seems like a long time ago, but there were some really difficult.
There was during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in Colorado, Jordan, I mean, we've gone through in Colorado the red flag law now that we have. We've got a high capacity
right, 2013.
Ban. We've got a background check that we just talked about with Kevin on even personal transactions in Colorado. So let's face it, folks, here in Colorado, we've got it about as tough as many other states do, including, we're right up there with California. Not quite as bad, but we're close.
Yep. Yep. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, again, I wouldn't lose any sleep over this right now if it were me.
I wouldn't either. But thank you for the call, Jordan.
Yep.
Okay. Jordan, I appreciate it very much. Thank you. All right. I've got a couple of questions that have come in. Charlie just typed me out one, and I also have one coming through via text message. I'll answer both of those as soon as we come back. So, everybody, hang tight. We'll get those. If you got another question for Kevin, please call us 303-477-5600. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. Get your car taken care of. And don't forget, Cooper Tires are at cost at Extreme Auto Repair. And you can find them at klzradio.com or call them directly 303-841-1071.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair and Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, offers a free consultation because he doesn't want the cost to stop you from talking to a lawyer. Suppose you had to pay a few hundred dollars for your initial consultation with Kevin Flesh. Instead of having a productive conversation, you'd be worrying about the money the whole time. Then suppose you don't retain him. You realize you don't need his services after all, so you wasted your money. It's too much pressure. Kevin wants you to feel comfortable talking to a lawyer without the distraction of a fee. Call Flesh and Beck Law now at 303-806-8886 and schedule a free consultation with Kevin. He'll be able to tell almost immediately whether or not you even have a case. Kevin always tells people honestly when they shouldn't hire him, so you'll leave the conversation better informed without wasting your money. Talk to KLZ's personal injury attorney for free at 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Kevin Flesh with me, Flesh Law Firm. Any question you've got, please let us know, 303-477-5600. Okay, a couple things real quick that came up via messages. In a private citizen gun sale, how can the seller do an official background check? They don't. The CBI does, and you have to do that at a gun store.
Yep, you have to go through a federal firearms licensed dealer or a person that has that license to transfer any weapons, any guns in Colorado.
All right. Also, somebody called in or texted in asking about they thought there's a law in Colorado that says it has a mandatory maximum 3-day waiting period to buy a gun.
No, I think they're being confused by some states have put into laws that you have to wait 3 days before you could buy a gun. There's nothing that says that the the actual background check has to happen within 3 days that I'm aware of. Because if that's the case, I could get the shotgun that I purchased on Monday tomorrow.
So there is no law concerning mm-hmm. that?
No. Okay. What there is there's laws that try to cool off the transaction. So you have to wait 3 days whether or not the background check comes back.
Okay. Is there a way, there's another text coming in, is there a way to find out if you'll pass a background check before you buy a firearm so you don't get arrested because of something you don't know about?
So they don't ever arrest you if it comes back that you have something in your background check that doesn't allow you to buy a gun. If you can get onto CBI at any point as an individual and pay $6.85, put in your information and see your criminal background check and what CBI has on you. So you could do that if you were worried about it. But I also,
by the way, it has to be a felony anyways. If you have a traffic stop, that's not enough, right?
No, correct. Well, except sometimes you may have a failure to appear warrant,
which that would be a felony, right?
Nope. You could have a petty or a misdemeanor failure to appear. Let's say you get pulled over for speeding, okay, but you don't have your insurance.
Okay.
And that's a mandatory appearance.
And you don't appear.
And you don't appear, there would be then a warrant out for your arrest.
And that would be on your CBI.
Yep. Most likely
it
would show up on your
from buying a gun.
Well, it most likely wouldn't affect you buying a gun, but if you wanted to know whether or not you had okay. warrants out, that would be a way to do it.
Okay.
But what I think the real question is I don't. I think what I think I hear the person asking in the text is, I don't want to apply for a gun and then say that I'm not eligible and I get charged for that right. when the CBI report comes back. I don't see that happening.
And the real question is, he spent 24 hours in jail about 4 years ago in Arapahoe County for something that should not have been on record. Haven't tried to buy anything since. A little paranoid. I think he's probably fine.
He probably is, but he should do a CBI report.
And just ask.
Yep, and get the report back and then go in. At any rate, what I was going to say is relating to the request for to purchase a gun, CBI will let you know in writing why okay. They don't allow you to purchase the gun. And then you can appeal those decisions. Once you get the notice in the mail, you have 30 days to appeal it. And I've had those situations where they're the simple little thing that you thought was resolved and it wasn't. And you can clear those up, get a new mitimus from the court, a court order clearing that up, and then supply that to CBI, and then you're golden and you're good to go. I've also had it where the reports are just wrong.
Okay. So. All right. So hang on. I got one more. Sorry. I'm trying to get all these juggled and answered. And by the way, I appreciate all of you that do text and do it that way. Not that we, mind you calling in, but, I get it. Some of you are busy and it's easier just to send a text message. Okay. What happens when you apply for a concealed carry permit? Does it only stay with the sheriff in the county in which you live? Or is there a state or nationwide registry of concealed carry permit holders?
No national registry, no state registry. It stays with the sheriff of the county where you reside. And if you move out of that county,
you have to go to the other sheriff. I know that one.
Yep.
And by the way, I screwed up once. and I was honest, so I had screwed up. You were supposed to. What's the law? You have to go to the sheriff within how many days of
I think it's 10 or 15 days.
It's not a lot, folks. It's a very short period. Well, I screwed up. I had moved, and most of you know, I went from Boulder to Jeffco, Boulder County, Jeffco. And I just thought I had to go get it done before my expiration thing. And then somebody finally said, hey, do you know that, since you moved, you need to get that.
Right.
So I just went into the sheriff, and I'm like, hey, I screwed up. I moved. I didn't know I needed to get this thing registered this quickly. I'm sorry. I don't want this to affect my conceal carry, rights and so on. Whatever I need to do, I'll make it right. I'm here now. I'm being honest. Here's when I moved. Here's where I'm at. They were cool.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we get it. We understand. Not a problem. Fill out the form. Pay the money. Done deal.
Yep,
they transferred it. No issues.
Exactly.
So they were. Jeffco was very nice about it at that point. So I'll
and
give them kudos.
Pretty positive relating to the concealed
carry.
Yeah,
it was very. It was a very easy thing, and they were very nice. And they were like, hey, it happens. Don't worry about it.
But you have to do that because there is no registry.
No.
And it's the same question that I get about when I get pulled over in the car, should I tell them that I'm a concealed carry? No, the police don't have any of that information. You want to say as little as possible.
You're best off not saying anything.
Yeah. And if the officer asks or if they see something, then you respond. But otherwise, just make
like
it as simple as possible.
I carry mine in my briefcase for the most part.
Yep.
Not always, but in general I do. They would never know it's there.
Correct.
I don't need to tell them that.
No, exactly.
All right. Mark, you're next. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, I want to ask you a question. I bought a AR build kit. It
mm-hmm.
came with everything but the lower.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. And then I bought it on serialized lower. They're sending it to me. There's no FFL. If I machine that lower and put that gun together, do I have to let anybody know I have it?
No. So I actually have this. It's an interesting issue. So you're able to buy the parts to create this gun. You don't have to tell anyone about it. And it's the same way with you go to Cabela's and you can buy black powder guns at Cabela's
kit.
In a kit,
yep.
And not have to go through an FFL. The laws still apply to you in the event that you're a felon or you have a domestic.
You're not supposed to own it.
It's illegal.
Right.
I've got a case right now where the guy's taken into custody and he's been charged with a felony for possession of a weapon by a prior offender. And it was, he's like, wait a second, I didn't have to go through anything.
I didn't have that problem. Okay.
Yeah. But you don't have that problem, I understand. But when you put it together, no, you don't have to do anything with regard to
anyone. Now, that is one thing that I will tell you. I think you're going to see the Democrats in these next 4 years really work on curtailing. And that would be one that I would be shocked if there's not enough support across the board, even from some Republicans, Mark, to end that. So my thought is, if that's something some of you want to do, I would go ahead and get that done now because I could see that in the near future being taken away.
Mark,
not
is,
taken away, but
yeah.
change.
Is there any serial numbers on any pieces of that gun that you put together?
I don't know, but I know the build kit I bought from a company called Saratech. I think they're out of Wyoming, and it's probably crap because it was like $500.
No, you never know.
You'd be surprised. I mean, the lowers are so cheap to make, Mark. That no, if you paid $500, it's probably actually a pretty decent lower.
That was everything but the lower.
Oh, everything but the lower.
Okay,
So that's barrel, the lower, all the uppers, and so on. That's not bad. You know, that's not bad because, you know, you still got to finish off the lower yourself. That's the other thing. And here's the other thing most people don't realize. I know we're getting into some weeds here, but, you know, putting the rest of the lower together, in some cases it's really, you know, fairly simple. But in some cases, Mark, you've got to be pretty precise in how you finish that lower off. And if you're just Joe Schmo and don't know anything about how to use a tool, you're never going to get that thing finished and put together.
Right.
Oh, and it definitely probably won't shoot right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is one of those things where you, typically speaking, the people buying lowers and then finishing themselves have some, you know, machine type experience or have the ability to do some of those things. You know, this is something I don't know why so many people are worried about this, especially the left, because this is not something that everyday Joe America is going out and doing.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And I think, I don't want to pay the $200, you know, that they might try to tax stamp all these guns, or there's talk about that.
There's talk about that.
But,
and again, just real quick, how in the world, and this is a question for Kevin, the federal government would ever think that they could stamp current guns that you currently have in your safe when they don't even know what's in your safe?
Right.
Mark, that's a futile attempt.
Well,
I don't see that happening.
Well, they do know if you went through an FFL. That's
sure.
They would know then. Well, no, they would not. They would only know if you did something maybe recently, but, you know, I've got an AR-15. Let's say I've owned it for 10 years now. The chances of them knowing I have an AR-15, it's nil. They don't.
Yeah. Well, some of these rules are just so stupid. I mean, they send me everything. It's not a gun. All those parts aren't a gun. The lower I bought, it's not a gun.
Right.
But as soon as you machine and put it together, it's a gun.
Right.
Yep.
And then it's like these AR pistols, like, they're okay, but if you shoulder it, then I think it's illegal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of these rules are...
They are, but keep in mind, Mark, and this is something, again, I don't think the left and even the folks that... Keep in mind, most of the left doesn't know the difference between a clip and a magazine, so I'm not going to get into all those gory details, but the reality is any good machine shop can manufacture a gun relatively easily. We're not talking about rocket scientists here. This isn't that difficult.
Yeah, that's true.
On any gun.
Yeah.
I'm not talking just an AR-15.
No.
If you're a good machinist, you can produce pretty much anything you want in regards to this. Not that hard.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Just to recap, so I put that gun together myself, and I'm legally allowed to
You're good.
It.
Yep,
that's
you're
legal.
Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Nothing you can do about it.
All right.
Yeah. But thanks, Mark, by the way. And I want to mention that, too, Kevin, because if you've got that ability, right now, currently, the way our law works, if you, yourself, had some machine experience and you've got a little job shop in the back of the house and whatever, and you decide you want to make your own gun, knock your socks off.
Yes, as long as
you're not selling it.
I'm not selling it, and I'm not a felon.
Right.
I don't have any domestic violence.
The reason I use you for an example is because you're not.
Right. I don't have any of those
if
things.
If you had a little job shop in the back and you decided you wanted to make some of your own weapons, knock your socks off.
That's
There's no
exactly
law
right.
prohibiting that.
None.
You just can't sell it to me when you're done.
Correct.
Without going through
the transfer.
FFL.
And that's where theoretically people think that they can start getting control of understanding how many guns there are out there. I mean, and that's one of the...
By the way, they have no idea either.
They don't.
There's some guesstimates out there, but they don't have any idea how many guns are in this country. I'm convinced of that. They don't have the foggiest idea how many.
Yeah. I think you're right, and I think that that's... There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, there's estimates that there's 300 and some million guns. I would tell you folks that my guesstimate would be there's probably over a billion guns in this country if there's a nickel of them.
Yeah. And so all of that and trying to track back and you know, all of that work that would be done relating to that, very difficult
it's
to do.
Almost because an impossibility.
You get one break in that chain, and then you don't know where the chain goes.
We can't figure out whether somebody tests negative or positive for COVID. Kevin.
And when they do test positive, is it a false positive or not? And
just say it.
Yeah, no,
just
throwing
that
I hear
out
you.
There.
I hear you. The masks will change everything.
We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Masks
questions for Kevin, give us a call.
COVID will go away.
303-477-5600. This is good stuff. Again, we'll have Kevin here till 6, so we only got another segment left. So give me a call, 303-477-5600. Fort Buttress Mortgage. Kurt Rogers, give him a call today, 720-895-0500.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Okay, folks, everything we've talked about here gun-wise, guess what? You can go right to Franktown Firearms, find out all of the answers to everything we've just talked about, literally. Yeah, you can call Kevin as well, but Franktown will have the same answer. So give them a call if you ever have any questions about what we're covering today. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms, and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store, and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with the full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Teresa at the Campion Church said, "I have worked with this company for 9 years. They are some of the best people to work with. When I call for service on our copier, they are always looking to get there as soon as they can. One time I had a deadline and my copier was down. I called them up to see if I could use a copier in their office, and they said, 'Come right on over.' Duke has personally come and delivered a copier for our use for a few weeks to make high-speed copies. I have enjoyed working with BES and would definitely recommend them." If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price, so they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Jumping right to the phones. Bill, you're next with Kevin. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, John, how are you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, first of all, your engineer and call screener, Charlie, is awesome.
I just yes,
wanted
he is.
To give him props.
Yes, he's fantastic.
He is the best.
Whenever I'm here, he's really on his A game.
Just when you're here,
well,
Kevin.
I always really enjoy it when you have Kevin on, too. He's awesome. I mean, he kind of disproves that whole thing about what Shakespeare said about lawyers a long time ago.
Well, I'm one of the few out there. I try to make a good name for the profession.
You and Saul
profession.
Goodman are a couple of the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just call Saul.
Anyhow, Kevin, I had a quick question for you about the ETF revised the background check form last fall.
Yes.
Where they did one thing that was, they added a binary sex. Which
yes, they did.
But, yeah, we just talked about that off air.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyhow.
What do you think about that, Bill?
I'm going to start filling that one in.
So, I may really upset people here, but can you check the mental health part of the bottom of the form saying that you don't have any mental health issues if you check the binary?
I don't think you can. No, I think they're one and the same.
I considered that.
Yeah, I wonder because I think that. Yeah. I mean,
to me, it's you can't. But I'm not in charge of the form.
I completely agree with you.
That's me.
It is interesting. It's politically correct, right? I mean, it's follow the form.
Well, the new Secretary of Health and Human Services is.
Yeah, let Shim answer that one for you.
Yeah.
There you go, Shim. Right, exactly. So the other thing that I thought was kind of interesting, and you know, the conspiracy theorist in me kind of started pinging when I saw this one, was they moved the identification of the firearm type from the second or third page of the form
up
to the very first thing.
That's right. Yep.
So. Yeah, and I know like GOA was in up in arms about that because they said, well, ATF agents randomly do these background check form inspections.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking pictures with their cell phones, so ostensibly that's kind of gun registration because you have the person's name and the type of gun.
Oh, there's
right
no
there in that case.
Hey, there's no question that's the end game with the fact that legally you have to continue to do all these transfers no matter what,
and
that's exactly what they're trying to do is they're trying to inventory.
Yep.
They're trying to inventory the guns.
Okay. Yep.
That's there's no question about
that. Why go through the expense of printing all those forms? Not that the government cares about that necessarily, but yeah, there had to be some higher purpose to that.
Agree.
That agrees with what my suspicion on that too.
Agree.
So, cool.
I don't think that's conspiracy. Right. I think that's just facts, Bill.
That is just facts.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
You know,
I don't know where it is.
It's just interesting how you hear some things that are floating out there, and then you see policies. You know, 2 or 4 or 5 years down the road. I mean, this is just another way that the folks
chipping
that are looking at chipping away.
Yep.
Just keep chipping away.
No. Great questions, Bill. Anything else?
Well, just interesting that whose watch that occurred under. So, you know, he certainly did some good things, but he wasn't the best two-way president.
You know, at the same time, I don't think Trump ever was that much of an advocate for the Second Amendment. I mean, he's coming from New York. And I think he was used to seeing that sort of infringement on our constitutional rights, and he felt comfortable with it. Because he had guys and gals around him that had plenty of guns, so he didn't matter about anybody else.
Well, yeah, a big hunter.
Oh, yeah.
A big hunter and really into it. So,
absolutely.
Hopefully he maybe can educate him a little bit. Anyhow, thank you, gentlemen.
No, thanks, guys. No, Bill, I appreciate it very much.
All right,
real quick, I got a couple questions on my own.
Yeah.
Gun trust.
Yes.
Which we didn't talk much about today, but I wanted to get to. So who in a family can be in a trust? So explain the trust itself and how that works.
So it's the gun trust. So the individuals who are members of the trust, because that's what you're doing, is you're setting up essentially it's like setting up a company, but the company is managing guns.
Okay.
And that company can have individuals that are members, and anybody that would be able to own a gun can be a member of that trust.
So I could start a trust with you and Charlie.
Yes.
You don't have to be family.
No.
Okay.
You do not.
I think there's some misconception on that.
I think there is too. Yeah.
I think most people think you have to be immediate family to do so.
No. Now there's some things that you have to do to make sure that the trust that you transfer those guns into the trust correctly, and that's
and we certainly
that's more of a consultation sort of thing, and we can talk about how to do that. But that's absolutely the issue, is that as long as the individual members could hold the gun in their own personal property, then they can be members of the trust.
So
and the real benefit of the gun trust back in 2013, when they became something that people were really interested in, was related to the issue with the max. You know, you couldn't go over
the ten round max. Okay,
exactly.
So and I know we're tight on time here, but the trust itself, when the trust is done, it's all set up. So you and I, Charlie, we get a trust.
Yes.
We're all done, handled, good to go.
Yep.
The trust owns all the guns.
Yes.
So we combine everything, put it into the trust, or how we decide to do it.
And you're all holding them in the trust as members.
They're all in the trust. Yes. We're all members of it. When I buy another gun, how does that work? Does the trust buy it?
So you can do it that way, or you can get it yourself and then say that you're this is the issue with the transfer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could buy it yourself and then transfer it into the trust later.
But now I have another background check.
Yep, you got another background check.
So why not just buy it as a trust to begin with?
You can buy it as a trust, but then you've got to explain that, remember on the form, mm-hmm. the FFL form, about are you the individual that's getting it or are you buying it for someone? And then you have to list out the trust, and now you've provided the information relating to the trust that you're going to have to do anyway,
okay,
whether you transfer it from yourself or to the trustee or to the trust. But then you show it as I'm buying it, because you're not really buying it for yourself.
You're buying it for the trust.
Right. So you're buying it for a third party that you have to then explain that it's going into
and
the
trust. And that's legal.
Yes, it's legal.
Okay. Yep. So there's no issues there.
Nope. No issues there.
And it's also in Colorado, if I'm not mistaken, legal for if we were married, which
mm-hmm.
we would never be. But
no, but we could be.
We could be. Let's say we're married.
Yes.
I can legally buy a gun for you since you're a spouse, right, in Colorado?
So spouses, it gets a little gray. I would say you want to disclose that if that's what you're doing. Because children you can, but so it's for the benefit of the children. But spouses, you still have to explain what you're doing.
Okay.
Because that spouse may not be qualified.
Okay.
Yeah, and they want to know where that gun ends up.
So best bet, call Kevin.
Yeah, and best bet is in the event that your spouse is buying a gun,
just
have your spouse
name.
Yeah, put it in their name.
Okay.
Or put it in the trust, and then they're members of the trust.
It's a little complicated, but
that's the way it works. Because then you don't have to go through this, I want to use this gun or that gun, and you're staying within the law.
We may have time for one more call. You have to make it quick. We'll get through this commercial, come right back. Purify Chevrolet is next. Buy a new car or truck, by the way. Great guys. Going back in time to buy a car. Fabulous experience. PurifyChevrolet.com.
Going into the showroom at Purifoy Chevrolet, one of the things that struck me is that the people that work there, they're just regular people. You talk to the guy that's helping you, and you get the sense of, this is just another person. He wants to help me. He wants to make sure that I get the right car. He's asking the right questions, but without being pushy. I just get a sense that he's really invested in what I need to find for my family and for me.
Rolly Purifoy is not somebody who would ever brag about himself, but he has an incredible history with Chevrolet, and that's why he cares about those vehicles so much. He's actually been a test driver for some of the models, and he's even had some input in the design. If you just ask Rolly some questions about his history, he has the most fascinating stories. He's one of those owners who will just chat with you like an ordinary person. He's just one of those people you really need to meet. I would highly recommend Purifoy Chevrolet. They're a really remarkable group of people.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Loveland and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason. KLZ 560. Is it Paul? Paul is up next. Paul, you got a minute.
I got 1 minute. I just want to know if there's any place, anywhere you can check to find out what they think you own. Today, I've been collecting and buying and selling for 30, 40 years.
No way.
And some paperwork, some not. I don't know what
there is. There is no way for them to tell, CBI. Nor could you.
Yep. And that's CBI. And there's no registry of guns anyway.
They don't know. But the only thing they would know, really, deal. Paul, is if you bought something in the last maybe couple of years and they know the exact gun store you bought that at, that paperwork would still be there. But boy, there's a lot of digging they'd have to do to figure that out.
Right, and depending upon the age of the weapon and when it was purchased and all of that, if they could, they'd have to go back to the manufacturer, just as
correct.
We talked about, and then
correct.
Try to get the chain.
It's an arduous process.
Yeah, especially if you buy stuff used.
Well, that's right. Yep.
Well, in a lot of cases, it's supposed to destroy background check records in 90 days. But
no, they don't.
I've worked for the government for a lot of years.
No,
they don't destroy anything.
No.
Good question, by the way.
Yeah,
Paul,
that's
thanks.
Really good.
No,
question.
Great question. All right, Kevin Flesh always goes by fast. Gosh, an hour and a half zips by. Seems like 5 minutes. So we'll have him back. Don't worry. If you've got any other questions for Kevin, call him directly 303-806-8886 or find him at fleshlawfirm.com. Again, that's FLESCH. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. National Crawford Roundtable is next, right here on KLZ 560.